welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can't solve. Greetings, beloved. This is Sister Judith, and I thank you for joining me as we conclude a message I've been sharing this week. Have you passed through God's gates of victory? We're looking at the third chapter of Nehemiah, the various literal physical gates that are mentioned and those that were working on them. But we're making application using a reference found in Hebrews, the 11th chapter, which talks about Abraham looking for a city which hath foundation, whose builder and maker is God. And so these all have spiritual application for us as New Testament believers. And we were looking, as we brought yesterday's broadcast to a close, at the Watergate. And I would suggest to you that refers to the everlasting life that we possess as God's children. In the fourth chapter of the Gospel of John, we see Jesus' encounter with the Samaritan woman at the well. And I'm just going to read Jesus' words. He said, "If thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, give me to drink, thou would have asked of him, and he would have given thee a living water." And of course, she says, "Oh, I want some of that." Jesus, in verse 13, said, "Whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up unto eternal life." And then, moving along quickly, because there are just yet a couple more gates I'd like for us to look at. In verse 28, it talks about the horse gate. Oh, that's interesting. What could that possibly mean for us? Well, beloved, we know that in ancient times, not so much today, of course, in modern civilization, but the horse was very important, and they had what they called war horses, and they were fearless and mighty. And here's a description out of the book of Job, chapter 39, verses 19 through 25. "Hast thou given the horse strength? Hast thou closed his neck with thunder? Canst thou make him afraid as a grasshopper? The glory of his nostrils is terrible. He paweth in the valley, he rejoices in his strength, he goeth on to meet the armed men. He mocketh at fear, is not affrighted, neither turneth back from the sword. The quiver rattleth against him, the glittering spear and the shield. He swalloweth the ground with fierceness and rage. Neither believeth he that it is the sound of the trumpet. He saith among the trumpets, ha ha, he smelleth the battle afar off, the thunder of the captains and the shouting." And so there, the horse was a symbol of war, if you will, and that was my suggestion to you, that we can refer to that horse gate as representing the spiritual warfare that we encounter as children of God. A couple New Testament scriptures I'd like to share with you. 1 Peter 5 and 8 says, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour." And then, of course, in the sixth chapter of the book of Ephesians, Paul is very clear in verses 10 through 17. He talks about the warfare. He says, "Be strong in the Lord, in the power of his might, and put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand," especially the days in which we're living, beloved, "against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood." You're having problems on your job, in your home, beloved. It's not flesh and blood. Understand, you're in spiritual warfare. You have to take authority in prayer and believe God to fight your battles. "But against principalities of powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. Stand therefore," Having your loins girt about with truth, having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, above all, beloved, take the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. So that horse gate talks about our warfare. And then let's look at the last gate that I'll share with you. It's called the Mikvad gate. And this represents, if you will, that's in verse 31, a place of judgment. And some theologians believe this is the gate of judgment, and thus it speaks of the judgment seat of Christ. And of course, if you understand and know your scriptures, that as God's people, as we have been washed in the blood of Jesus, restored into fellowship with our Father, we are not judged for sin. That has been covered and taken care of at Calvary when we become born again and we walk in a life of surrender and humility and repentance and good works toward our God, seeking to please Him in all things. However, that judgment seat of Christ, Paul is very clear, it's the place where we will receive our rewards. He talks about wood, hay, and stubble, and precious stones, and gold, and silver, and of what are the things that last? Those are the things that cannot be destroyed by fire. The things that we do in the name of the Lord, the things for Christ. All right. Now, just to conclude and summarize, why have we spent the time this week looking at the various gates that your third chapter of Nehemiah speaks of? Well, just as ancient Israel, in the time of Nehemiah, he had his workers that were really encouraged. They had a lot of opposition, but they built it in 52 days. Praise God. Talk about a miracle. But we have a city that God is building. He is the maker. He is the builder. And I'd like to share three reasons for building up the wall, if you will, going through those gates. Number one, why? It's for the safety of the sheep. Sheep are kept safe by being in a sheepfold, a pasture. It keeps the ravening wolves away. It keeps the wild animals from attacking and killing them. It keeps them in the pasture of God. And so we know it's for our own good and protection that we need to go through those gates and be in the sheepfold of the Lord. We can go in and out. That's it. We're supposed to be fishers of men, right? Go through the fish gate. Why? We can go in and out. That's what Jesus said. I am the door of the sheep. A magnificent passage of scripture. He said, I am the door to the sheep. That was the very first gate that we looked at, the sheep gate, because he said, I am the door, or if you will, the gate of the sheep. And so it's for our safety. And also, it is so we pass through each gate of experience in Christ. And when we do, when we go through these gates, going through that dung gate, we realize we will make a decision. We want to mortify the deeds of the body, the carnality that represents, to leave behind those things that once held us bound. And thirdly, it is to keep the enemies of our soul on the outside. We are protected inside the pavilion of God. Jesus is our refuge, our help, our hope, our victory, and our high tower. Praise God. For in the time of trouble, He will hide me in His pavilion. In the secret of His tabernacle will He hide me. He will set me up upon a rock. Praise God. And so that's why that's our home, beloved. Our home will be the new Jerusalem in the new heaven, on the new earth. But we need to be inside that spiritual temple that God is building right now, that city that is not made with the hands of men. man. The Israelites needed a natural fortification, a natural wall to keep up their enemies. But we, as the children of God, as New Testament believers, Jew and Gentile alike, whomsoever will, people out of every tribe, kindred, nation, and tongue are being brought into as members of the body of Christ. In closing, let me just share some beautiful passages of Scripture talking about the gates and that marvelous city that we're residents of. Solomon said in Proverbs 8:34, "Blessed is the man that heareth me, watching daily at my gates, waiting at the posts of my doors." David said, "Peace be within thy walls, and prosperity within thy palaces." This is David's joy for the church. Verse 8, "For my brethren and companions' sake, I will now say, peace be within thee." And then Isaiah 26:1 declares, "In that day shall this song be sung in the land of Judah. We have a strong city. Salvation will God appoint for walls and bulwarks." I'm just singing. Remember that song we used to sing? "I will enter his gates with thanksgiving in my heart. I will enter his courts with praise." Praise God. Isaiah 60:18 declares, "Violence shall no more be heard in thy land, wasting nor destruction within thy borders. But thou shalt call thy walls salvation and thy gates praise." And then going back to Isaiah 26, verse 2 says, we find this command, "Open ye the gates." Beloved, that's what we must do, that the righteous nation, all those who desire to be part inhabitants of this wonderful city, "Open ye the gates, that the righteous nation, which keepeth the truth, may enter in." Praise God. Hallelujah. Well, it's been a joy to be able to share the word of the Lord, and my heart's prayer is that you would find great joy and satisfaction living, finding joy and comfort and strength and all you need in the city of our God, in the mountain of his holiness, that you can go in and out, finding pasture for your souls and going out to be fishers of men, to be those that are not ignorant of the enemy's devices, but strong in faith and giving glory to God. Just as Abraham, he staggered not at the promises of God through unbelief. Amen. And this is our inheritance, beloved. And so I pray you've been encouraged and inspired. My prayers are with you daily for not only my UCM family, my spiritual family, but also you, my radio family, even those of you who have never written. I pray that the anointing of God and the Word of God, you will learn to love the Word of God with all of your heart, for that is the sword of the Spirit, and that you will increase and grow in fervor and zeal in your love for God and be all that God has ordained and destined you to be. That's my heart's cry. I pray that that is yours as well. Until next time, I love you. I thank you for joining me this week, today, and thank you for your prayers. And until next time, this is Sister Glass saying, may God's best forever be yours, is my prayer.
You're listening to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast. Thank you for joining us. You're invited to write Sister Glass at P.O. Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. That's Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. You're also invited to visit our website, unveiledchrist.org. You can learn more about Unveiled Christ there, as well as email Sister Glass. Again, that's unveiledchrist.org. And please remember as you write that your prayers for this ministry are greatly valued, and your tax-deductible gifts of support enable us to keep this radio program on the air. Thank you for joining us today. Until next time, God bless.